Brother Chris and our choir and an accompanist. His mercy is more this morning. Amen? Amen. That is a good word, and I trust that you know that, believe that, and have experienced that. His mercy is more. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 15 and verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are studying God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter in the Gospel of John. And today we have come to John chapter 15 and verse 9, and we'll be looking through verse 17. If you will remember, it is Thursday evening, the Thursday evening of Passion Week, the Thursday evening before Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday. Jesus is with his 12 disciples minus Judas, who has already left, already gone on his way to do his thing. And it appears that Jesus and the 11 are on their way, traveling to the Garden of Gethsemane. And along the way, Jesus is teaching them, and consequently teaching us, about life after he is gone. And last Sunday, we began looking at chapter 15 and relationships. And Jesus spoke to us about our relationship with him and what needs to be true of our relationship with him, even if he is not here physically with us. And today, he's going to teach us about our relationships with others, brothers and sisters in Christ, specifically. And then, next Sunday morning, we're going to look at our, and when I say our, talking about the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to see our relationship with the world. What does Jesus say about our relationship with the world? And so our relationship with him, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with the world. That is the extent of John chapter 15. If you have found John chapter 15 and verse 9, I want to invite you to stand if you're able and follow along as I read again through verse 17. Jesus said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words of your Son, our Savior, here in John chapter 15. Father, we pray that over these next few moments that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive as we think about our relationship with others. Teach us now through your word, and we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Last Sunday morning, as we thought about our relationship with Christ, there was one single word that was emphasized and spoken again and again and again, that this word should characterize our relationship with Christ. And it's the word abide, or your translation may say remain. Abide in Christ. Remain in Christ. In the language of the New Testament, the word is meno. And that's not a small bait fish. That's the word that Jesus uses. Abide. Remain. And that word abide means, first of all, to believe in Christ. And then to continue in Christ. And then to obey Christ. And so this one single word, the emphasis, the focal point of our relationship with Christ, abide in Him. Well, we have a new word today. And the word for today, as it relates to our relationships with others, is love. Jesus gives us this command in verse 12. Look there at the text. This is my commandment, that you love one another. But just for emphasis, it wasn't enough for him to say it once. He felt the need to say it a second time in verse 17. These things I command you, read it with me on the screen, that you love one another. And again, notice he uses the word command. When we think of commandments in God's word, almost exclusively we go to the Old Testament. And we go to the Ten Commandments. And yes, those commandments are for us even today as they are repeated in the New Testament. But the New Testament itself is full also of commands for the follower of Christ. And as it relates to our relationship with others, we are to love one another. Now, I need to clarify for us this morning, because in the language of the New Testament, there are multiple words that we would translate love. Jesus is not speaking here or saying here, talking about here, the sexual eros love, E-R-O-S. He's not even speaking about the brotherly phileo love, P-H-I-L-O. But the word in today's text, the word that he is using for us, the word that he's commanding as it relates to one another, is the unconditional agape love. Unconditional. agape love. And so as we think about that love this morning and how we are to love one another, let's look again at the text, seeing there beginning in verse 9, that when we love one another, we must love as Jesus loved us. We must love as Jesus loved us. There in verse 9, as the Father loved me, Jesus said, I also have loved you. And so we know that in fact, Jesus does love us. Verse 16, he says it a little bit differently. You did not choose me, but what? I chose you, Jesus said. And then in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And notice the end of the verse, as I have loved you. Well, how has Jesus loved us? Unconditionally. What does that mean, Brother Richard? Unconditionally. Literally, without condition. There's not something that Jesus was expecting or anticipating from us that caused him to love us. He simply loved you and loved me because that is the nature of agape love. Now, that's not naturally how we work. Naturally, we love those who love us. We like those who like us. We want to be around those who want to be around us. You see, all of those behaviors are conditional. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about unconditional. Jesus didn't love me because he knew that I would love him. He loved me because that is who he is. And the same can be said of you. He didn't love you because he knew that one day you would love him. No, he just loved you because the love that he gives toward us is the unconditional agape love. And so when we love others, we are called to this higher standard. This higher standard of loving one another as Christ has loved us. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus even said, this goes for your enemies as well. Turn over to Matthew 5 for just a moment. Listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 43. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. And then listen to 46. For if you love those who love you, that's conditional love, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus said even lost people love conditionally. Even lost people, even pagan people love those who love them. But as a follower of Christ, When we love one another, we are to love as Christ has loved us without condition. Notice secondly, that when we love one another, we are abiding in His love. And our loving one another and our obedience and our answered prayers are proof that we are abiding in His love. Now let's again go back to the text. Look there in verse 9. We saw this word last week. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And then here's the word abide or remain. Abide in my love. And then he says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So when we love one another unconditionally, when we love one another as Jesus has loved us, we are abiding or remaining or continuing in His love. And loving one another is the proof, but it's not the only proof. Jesus said that obedience is the proof also that you are abiding in my love. We actually saw that this morning in our Sunday school small group lesson, John chapter 13 and verse 35. But this is a common theme that Jesus is repeating again and again and again. And we saw it in the last chapter. Look back at chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So our obedience is another proof. It's another demonstration of our love for Jesus. And then look at verse 23 of chapter 14. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, what? He will keep my word. And so when we love one another, we are abiding in His love. When we are being obedient, we are abiding in His love. And if we are being obedient, then we will also pray according to His will. Look there in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Well, what is Jesus talking about there? Well, He's talking about prayer. And brothers and sisters, I don't in any way, shape, form, or fashion mean to suggest this morning that there is some magical recipe for answered prayer. And I would say to you this morning that many times the way that God answers prayer is in fact complicated. And I don't always understand. I certainly don't understand the timing. And oftentimes I don't understand the answers themselves. But here's what I do know. That according to God's word, when we are loving one another, and when we are obeying God's commands, that we will then offer prayers that God wants to answer. Because we are praying according to His will. and our heart has been molded and shaped and changed, and we have put aside our will and what we want and what brings us glory, and through our loving one another and through our obeying God's word, we have now taken on His will. And our heart has changed from our will to His will. And so now we're not praying what we want. Now we're praying what God wants. And whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, He may give you. But there's one more truth here. As it relates to us loving one another. And when we love one another, Jesus says it will be a great joy and will be a sacrifice to others. Look at verse 11. It said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Well, what has He spoken to them? Abide in His love. Abide in His love. Abide in His love. In essence, Jesus is saying that some of the greatest joy that you and I will ever experience as a follower of Christ is when we love others unconditionally, like He loved us. Now, understand, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is many times, if not always, related to external circumstances. But joy, on the other hand, is a gift from the Lord that is independent of external circumstances. And Jesus says, "My joy," verse 11, "may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." When? When you love one another. Now, if we didn't already know, Jesus experienced this Himself, did He not? "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whomever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, the joy of loving one another is the joy that God experienced in loving us. It's the joy that Jesus experienced in loving us. It's the joy that we can experience when we love one another. And our love for one another is a sacrifice for them. Look at the text. Verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." What's Jesus talking about there? Well, he's looking toward Good Friday. He's looking toward His death on the cross for the sins of the disciples, for the sins of the church, for the sins of the world. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And then in Jesus then elevating the status and deepening the intimacy of His relationship with the disciples. "You are my friends if you do what I commanded you." I don't call you a servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You see, Jesus, because of the joy set before him, endured the cross. Jesus, because of his love for us, brought him great joy. And it was a sacrifice for us because he laid down his life for his friends. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. In a very familiar text, the Apostle Paul reminds us of what Christ did on our behalf and because of his love for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And then here's the text that many of you know. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Unconditional, agape love. And brothers and sisters, as it relates to our relationship with one another, Jesus said, abide in Christ and today love one another. Now I trust that if you've been listening this morning and you have been wanting God to speak to you, that the Holy Spirit has brought someone to your mind. Maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe a classmate, maybe a customer or a business partner. How should our relationship be with this person? Well, we are called to love one another. But that person said this. But that person did that. Love one another as Christ loved us. Unconditionally and sacrificially. One last verse, and then I'll be finished. We're familiar with John 3:16, but do you also know 1 John 3:16? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. But listen to this last part. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for one another. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus' love in your life. Today, I would invite you to do just that. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, because he did. And call upon him to save you. Call upon him, making him your Lord and your Savior. In just a moment after I finish praying, I'll be standing here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be standing here at the front with me, and And today, if you would receive the love of Christ in your life for the very first time, I invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. We'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you and counsel with you and rejoice with you. And for the rest of us who have received that love in our lives, then we have homework. And as we are abiding in Christ, we also are to be loving one another. And I trust again that the Holy Spirit has brought someone to your mind, laid them on your heart for you to love unconditionally in the same way that Christ has loved you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your unconditional, sacrificial love. Father, please forgive me when I don't love as you love. But I pray, Father, that you would help me and my brothers and sisters in the room to remember how you have loved us. And Lord, let us be found faithful today and this next week in loving others, not because they loved us, but loving others because you loved us unconditionally, sacrificially. Lord, help us to do what you have already done. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? And Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Would you come today responding publicly to God's word?